This morning, our guest is Sarah Mochen, and she is one of the folks who brought forth a proposal that is one of three Night Cities Challenge finalists. We've been talking with folks about these three projects that were named here in Duluth. Three finalists out of 144. Alyssa Hansen talked with us a little earlier about Mayor Emily Larson's project, Making Canal Park Pop, a pop-up parklet project, which is, you know, kind of fun to say in addition to being a cool idea. Chris Eilers talked to us about the One River Many Stories project, and that, of course, came out of UMD and John Hatcher in the journalism department. Sarah Mochen's got an idea for something called Seize Duluth Workshops. It sounds fun and maybe just a little bit dangerous. She joins us on the phone this morning to tell us more. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
Nice to have you online with us this morning. So tell us about the Seize Duluth Workshops.
Yes, I would love to. Well, we are very excited about this opportunity, and Seize Duluth Workshops came out of a long brainstorming session of how we can use what's in Duluth already and use what resources we already have to just make a very local and community-driven impact. So I work for North Forest in Duluth, and that's a local initiative that works to attract and retain talented individuals in our area for a sustainable workforce. And we work with community members, businesses, and college-aged students to connect them with local opportunity. And Seize Duluth Workshops is a goal to expand opportunity in Duluth by connecting our residents and job seekers with professional opportunities through workshops in our city's unused and historic buildings. So that idea came about just by looking at what defines Duluth, what captures Duluth's history, what we can leverage that's already here, and how we can maximize the impact in Duluth citizens.
Now, I have to say that I'm picturing some of these historic buildings, and of course, I think so many people adore these historic buildings and are so glad that we have them, but so many of them have inside kind of fallen to rack and ruin, and I'm picturing a bunch of earnest, young, well-dressed people sitting in a room taking notes, and there are buckets on the floor to capture, you know, the water that perhaps is leaking through the ceiling.
Yes, and we've definitely thought of that as well, and we've spent a good portion of time looking for the buildings that would be usable and also historic, which has been it has been a challenge, but we do have over a dozen that would be fantastic options, and we're still searching for more as the months progress. So we our biggest challenge in making sure this idea would be realistic was finding those buildings that would actually be great venues for events. But they are out there, we're happy to say.
Well, I'm a little curious about what the advantage is. I mean, it's a cool idea, but what is the advantage to holding these workshops in an historic building as opposed to in a conference space at a hotel or a conference space on a university campus?
Yes, that's a great question. So overall, our goal of actually using historic buildings was to deliver professional opportunities, but also development opportunities. So by having an event in that space, we also wanted to possibly use a space that has development potential that we can introduce to potential developers. So even though we are mainly career-based in the work we do, we also wanted to bring basically development and opportunity from all levels to the community, so that even if the building isn't developable per se, we would also talk about buildings in the area that do have development potential.
So basically you're hoping that a young developer or a young architect shows up to one of these meetings and pays no attention to what's being discussed. Instead, they're looking all around and they're scribbling notes in their pad about how cool they'd make this building if they bought it and fixed it up.
That will be an option for attendees, and at the very least, we'll be having a tour of the building so that the community has an idea of what that space looks like. And it will just be a way to get an idea of all of the opportunity that does exist in Duluth.
So it is kind of a twofer. It's not only, hey, look at all these cool young people or these cool people, period, that you could be employing, but look at this cool space that maybe you could expand into and put them to work right here.
Yes, exactly. Just covering all of the bases that we can.
What a cool idea. Sara, it's, I understand that it is, we're going to have to wait until the spring to find out who the final, or who actually wins. And are there, are they going to be, they're going to be awarding money to more than one organization. Is that right?
Yes, that is right. They are choosing any number of organizations that they feel is worth the grant. So they don't have a specific number that they're going to choose.
So in theory, Duluth, all three of these great projects that we've been talking about could walk away with some Night City's money to try to bring them to fruition.
Yes, we could.
Wow. Wouldn't that be cool?
It would be very exciting, yes.
Sara, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. It was great to talk to you. What an exciting idea. Appreciate it, and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Sara Mountain is one of the three organizations slash people that put forth some ideas of projects that would make Duluth more successful. It was part of the Night Cities Challenge program. Three projects from Duluth were named as finalists. And so we're hoping that at least one, preferably all three, would be able to get some money from the Night Cities Challenge, and we'll keep you up to speed on that as time progresses. We have to wait until the spring. We'll also get a couple links set up so you can get more information about the projects and the whole Night Cities Challenge.